I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussions of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphone works as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you're attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. So instant message should be kept to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, C for a comment, P if you wish to propose, S if you wish to second, and please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Now, have we any apologies?
Yes, Chair, we have apologies from Councillors Campbell, Rowan and Truesdale.
Okay. And now, Chairperson's remarks is on behalf of Councillor Campbell. He was delighted to host the civic events to recognise the community support and delivery across the district and to thank the Democratic Services and judging panels. Now, there's an emerging motion, and this will require a qualified majority vote, which is 80% of those present and voting. I will table this at the end of all the agenda items. Now, is there any declarations of interest? No, thank you. Now, we'll go through the action sheet from the council meeting held on the 2nd of February. Now, we have page 1, page 2 and page 3. So, any matters arising?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. I just want to come in page 1. At the end of page 1, it talks about a report being drafted on the details of a judicial review to be presented at a future planning committee meeting. I just want to make sure, would that report be available for all councillors to see?
That will be a paper that will be available to all councillors to view, yes.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Yes, can I get a proposer and a seconder, please? Councillor McAteer and Councillor Hannah. Right, item 4, we'll go to the minutes of the meeting held on the 2nd of February. Now, can I get a proposer and a seconder for action? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Number 12. Okay, there's 12 pages on the council meeting. So can I get a proposer and a seconder, please? For accuracy. Councillor Bowsey proposing, and who else? Oh, sorry. Councillor Brennan second. Now, so any matters arising on the council meeting? No. Okay. So now we have item 5, the minutes of the audit committee held on the 29th of January. Is there any matters arising? Sorry, proposer, seconder. For actually, I'm the wrong way around. Proposed councillor, and then second councillor Murphy. So, any matters arising? No. Okay. Now, item 6, minutes of the AORT held on the 9th of February. Can I get a proposal and a seconder for accuracy, please?
So proposed, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews and Councillor Hart. Councillor Hart, any matters arising? No. Okay, item 7, the minutes of the SPNR. Can I get a proposal and a seconder for accuracy? Councillor McAteer proposes. Councillor King second. Any matters arising? Okay. So item 8, minutes of active AHC. Can I get a proposal and a seconder? So right. Okay. And any matters arising? Okay, so item 9, the minutes of the S&E held on the 18th of February. Can I get a proposal and a seconder for accuracy?
Propose. Clearly seconded.
Okay, Councillor McAtee. No, it was Councillor Andrews. Sorry, Councillor Andrews. Yes, and any matters arising?
Not sure.
Councillor Riley.
Yeah, could I just very much welcome the health working group that, will be developing now. I was wondering, would it be possible to make it open to any interest of councillor? Because not everybody will have an interest, but if we're going to be trying to attract people from outside who work in health-related field, I think it would be very appropriate that we have as many councillors there as possible to put forward the views of the local community. And that's the way the old Nurey and Mourne Health Committee operated, and I was extremely successful. So I would like to propose that.
Second.
Sorry, Chair. Yeah, there is the ability for substitutes to be had. So if you're on the health working group and you can't make it, you can substitute, and somebody in your party can attend in your place.
Sorry, a proposer. Yeah. Yeah, is everybody in agreement? Yeah. Okay, now item 10 is planning section. Oh, I need a proposer and a seconder, please. Thanks. Mr. McAteer, anybody else? Seconder for planning? Councillor Larkin? Yes. Councillor Hanna, wish to speak?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Marie, I still haven't received any information on the TRs yet, so they're requested.
Chair, that was the response I provided at the start of the meeting. In respect to Councillor High, in respect to the report, will it be available to all members? And when it is completed and tabled, it's not prepared and ready yet, but when it is, as I said, it'll be available to all members.
I couldn't hear what you were saying, so I couldn't.
Okay, now, items 11 is correspondence, so 11.1 to 11.6. Can I get a proposer and a seconder? And any matters arising. So, can I get a proposer, please? Councillor Hart, seconder. Councillor Mathers. Any matters arising? Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's on 11.2 specifically, on the CAR T-cell therapy. I know we've obviously written back to the Minister and we've got the letter there from Galway in terms of the capacity and their ability in the future, the willingness in the future to work cross-border, and the Health Minister stating that for now it'll be going to the UK model. Yes, the SDLP delegation had met with haematologists and experts in the field, and there are questions that need to be answered, especially around the expedition of the facility in Belfast. So I would like if we'd write back to the Health Minister asking for a meeting with a delegation from this council specifically on that issue. And whether through the Health Minister or his officials, so we can go through, I think, going back and forth in correspondence on issues and trying to get into the detail of it is very, very difficult. So how we can expedite the issue through the Belfast facility. Chris.
Councillor Byrne, Councillor Devlin. You have an agreement? Okay, Councillor Devlin, you'd like to speak?
Yes, thank you, Chair. It relates to item 11.6 and the correspondence from the Infrastructure Minister. We just seem to be in a little bit of a ping pong back and forward here between the Minister's private office and ourselves. And I certainly don't want to be wasting Democratic Services time by going back again to ask for a further meeting, but I suppose just to stress this evening. But I am disappointed that the Minister has refused to meet with ourselves. I think people in this chamber will remember the night that I did table that motion and how difficult it was for many within the chamber, and I suppose maybe for those people living in Mourne who are living it every single day. They know the importance of that route to local community. So again, it is disappointing that the Minister doesn't want to meet on that issue, but I suppose in the interests of us working positively and constructively moving forward, we would welcome the meeting with the officials, and perhaps maybe we could still leave the invitation open that if the Minister's diary were to free up that you would be able to attend, because I suppose the bigger thing is the policy directive at a ministerial level as opposed to the pressures that the local section office are under at that local level, Chair.
Okay. Councillor Harding.
Margaret Kierlach, just in relation to agenda item 11.4, we got a response from the British Ministry of Justice. The response itself was about as anemic as we expected, but I am pleased to see that the Palestine Action Hunger Strike has ended with no loss of life, and that the British High Court has recently ruled that the prescription of Palestine Action was unlawful. So hopefully this will we'll soon see the drawing to a close of this particularly shameful chapter in your stammer's misrule.
Turn your mic off now, Councillor Hardy, please. And Councillor Murphy. Richard Murphy. Councillor Lena Murphy, yes. As you know, Councillor.
I just on 11.5 from Minister Moore, the correspondence. I welcome it to the event. So now he's decided to meet us on the region situation one point.
Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. Just a few words on the item Councillor Devlin raised. I think it is important that we do, you know, get an opportunity to meet the minister. I understand workloads, and you know, we all understand the minister's workloads, but I think it's important that, you know, if the minister sees the items, you know, that it's really of utmost importance to the, you know, the constituents that we represent, foreign councillors in particular. The road, A2 road, particularly from Glasdrummond to Newcastle, we mentioned before, you know, it's in a really poor standard, and it's actually very dangerous. You know, the road is now sort of fallen, you know, to the left-hand side in places, get up near the Orlitz and Glasdrummond. And it's dangerous actually pulling vehicles in towards, you know, in towards the ditch. You know, so I think it's important that the minister does see that firsthand. There's a number of pinch points. I remember a letter come back in regards to pinch point at St. Patrick's Stream, where a lorry and a bus can hardly get past themselves. This is the main artery, you know, our main coastal artery into the towns of Kilkeel, Newcastle. And you know, a articulated vehicle, bus can't pass themselves in places. You know, so I think we got the letter back saying there was no accidents at that location because you can't get past. That's why. You know, and that's what the officials are telling us. You know, the officials are coming back with them types of words. We need to be able to sit and discuss and brief the minister on what's actually happening. And the atrocious weather we faced, you know, over this past number of months has made the road, you know, so much worse. You know, so I think it's just keep working with the officials, but keep the invitation open. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Councillor Hannah.
Just on the same subject as Councillor Clark and Councillor Laura Devlin there, to be quite honest with you, I know Wally's talking about from Glasdrummond down till Newcastle, the road is actually far worse if you head the other way. There's been far more serious accidents if you head the other way. So to be quite honest with you, I think it's pretty essential to meet with somebody here so where there is the issues and to highlight them. I know Willie has pointed out a couple of them. There's quite a number of issues along that whole stretch of road. It's just for such a prominent road, and now with the road being closed over the mountains as well, so it is, it's going to be closed for, I think it's 16 weeks or 18 weeks from the 19th of this month. And then possibly the Newry Road out of Kilkeel at the bridge just past Newry's Cross, it's possibly closing, so it is too. So we're going to be very restricted in that the only exit out of the moors has pretty much been Newcastle. I wouldn't take that road to collapse on us altogether, because I tell you, we wouldn't get any food in or we'd get nothing in. We're in a bad way then, so we would. But just on this whole thing, it's gone on too long, so it is, and we do need the work done very, very soon and the meeting as soon as possible. Just asking, Chair, is there any indication when of a date or anything like that?
No, but we'll pick up with the department.
Okay, thanks.
Now, item 12, notice of motion. So, note of motion for Councillor Lewis. Would you like to read your motion and who's seconding your motion?
Thank you, Chair. The motion is that this council notes the sudden unexplained death in childhood, sudden unexplained death of a child between 1 and 18 years, where no cause of death has been identified following through investigation, including post-mortem examination, and that approximately 40 children are affected each year across the United Kingdom. Council recognises the profound and lasting impact these unexplained deaths have on families, friends and communities, and expresses its sympathy for all those affected by such a tragic loss. Council acknowledges that SUDC is significantly under-researched when compared to related conditions such as infant death syndrome, and remains limited awareness data collection, special understanding and coordinated research into the causes, prevention strategies and bereavement support for families. Council supports the work of charities and organisations seeking to raise awareness and provide support to affected families to improve research and understanding of this issue. Accordingly, the Council agrees to request the Chief Executive Rights to the Health Minister, asking him to engage with his UK counterparts to support the development of a coordinated national response and strategy on SUDC, ensuring that there is clear local dimension to this issue, encouraging appropriate awareness through council communications, engagement with relevant community and health partners where appropriate. Chair, I was first contacted by a constituent who was asking that we write to our MPs and ask that they bring these issues up when this is being talked about and debated over in Westminster. So I had offered to bring this to the council to raise awareness of this very important issue, and just to highlight the sheer trauma and pain that these families would be going through. We aren't asking for huge amounts of money and commitments here. We are simply asking that research is done and that due regard is given to that research. My colleague, Councillor Callum Housey, I will be saying in there, please, Chair. Death in childhood is all the more traumatic for families when it is sudden and unexplained. Therefore, more research is needed to ensure that every childhood death at least offers answers to grieving families and in turn increases the prognosis of rare health issues earlier on to prevent further tragedies. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thanks to Councillor Lewis for taking this motion. Sinn Féin welcome the work of SUDC and the National Child Mortality Database in raising awareness and pressing for better research data collection and support for bereaved families. Sinn Féin will be supporting the motion and any work which will secure greater recognition of sudden unexplained death in childhood and to develop a coordinated government-backed plan to improve understanding, research and prevention. Thank you.
Councillor Sergeant.
Thank you, Chair. I wish to thank Councillor Lewis for bringing forth this motion. SUDC is a profound tragedy that ripples through many families in our entire community. Alliance is fully supportive of this motion. We believe we must prioritise raising awareness among professionals and parents alike. The findings from University of Central Lancashire last August were clear. Every family deserves swift, proactive and knowledgeable communication during and beyond the investigation in their child's death. We know that poor communication doesn't just cause frustration, it also actively worsens the trauma of grief. While every parent's primary goal is to understand why their child died, they've also identified a clear need for greater consistency and effectiveness in the investigation process. We owe it to these families to ensure that they're never left in the dark.
Thank you. Mr. Andrews.
Thank you very much. And I would like to thank Councillor Lewis on bringing forward this motion, which is to be highly commended. And having listened to Councillor Lewis and other speakers who have contributed to this debate and listening to the points raised and where we go here as a result, recognising so much the work that organisations and groups do to raise awareness, and they do support we do support the motion and the call that Councillor Lewis has made through this motion. So the SDLP will be supporting for the motion, all aspects of it. Thank you.
Everyone in agreement with the motion? Sorry, I don't know. Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chair, I just want to outline my support as well for the motion brought forward by Councillor Alan Lewis this evening. I want to thank him for bringing it forward to the Chamber. It's obviously an issue that's extremely traumatic for any family to go through, and where you know we can find better practices to be put in place to offer the more comfort and support to families and create a better understanding of what causes a death like this, and maybe offers a bit more comfort to families, having a better knowledge of what's happening, and any reviews that are undertaken create a better understanding, maybe even through prevention. I think, you know, we're obliged to do that. Obviously, it's important that we do that, and certainly I hope that the Health Minister can look at this in a very positive way, you know, going forward, that'll assist families that have unfortunately, you know, found themselves encountering this extremely difficult situation. So just wanted to outline my support for Councillor Alan Lewis in respect of his proposal this evening. Thank you.
Is everybody in agreement with the motion? Yeah. Councillor Lewis, would you like to?
Thank you, Chair. And just to thank colleagues, thanks colleagues for supporting this motion. And it's just a small part that the Council can play to help this. Thank you very much.
Okay, motion 13, independent environment protection from Councillor Truesdale, and she's asked to put that back to next month because she's sick. Okay, so we're going to item 14, which is the Isle of Man legislation. Councillor Hannah, would you like to speak, and who's seconding your motion? Thank you.
Councillor Reddy, seconding it. This is on the legislation. This council is deeply concerned that the changes by the Isle of Man government to legislation where fisher vessels from Northern Ireland operating with crews using a transit visa or a UK skilled worker visa cannot fish commercially in the Manx waters. New legislation requires that that the Isle of Man work visa is obtained, and to use them visas, the business must be an Isle of Man based business. This will be difficult. The legislation will damage a large number of Northern Ireland fishing vessels who fish within the Isle of Man 12-mile limit. Northern Ireland fish processors will also suffer along with the fishing industry throughout County Down. This council should write to the... I'm proposing this council write to the Manx government, highlighting the damage to the Northern Ireland fishing industry and asking the Isle of Man government to reverse the legislation or delay it for more consultation. Just on this, fellow councillors, this legislation, to be quite honest with you, it's extremely damaging cities to the Northern Ireland fishing fleet in particular cities, and fishing livelihoods are under threat as a result of the action taken by the Isle of Man government. New Manx immigration rules mean that any vessel operating with the crew members holding a UK transit visit visa or a UK skilled worker visa cannot fish commercially in the Manx territory waters. If such a vessel does so, its owner will be subject to a prosecution. In practical terms, crew members must now hold an Isle of Man work visa to work on these waters. To secure such a visa, the employing business must also be registered in the Isle of Man. The change will make a huge impact on the local fishermen and the businesses. For many years, our fleets have faced real and persistent difficulties in recruiting local crews. As a result, around 70% of the working vessels registered in Northern Ireland have overseas workers. That's from the likes of the Philippines and different African countries and further afield. They work hard and contribute to our coastal economy, yet the new approach takes no account of that reality and places compliant vehicles at a very serious disadvantage. The consequences are evident. Northern Ireland vessels, despite having lawfully purchased licence and fishing the waters for generations, will effectively be shut out from operating within the Isle of Man 12-mile nautical limit. So if you think about that, these guys, if you take the 12 miles from the Irish coast and then 12 miles from the other coast, it leaves a very narrow slip of water they'll be able to work in. That will be felt sharply across the scallop and Niverid sectors, both of which are central to the viability of our trawlers. The challenge is not for the first time that our fleets have faced in Manx waters. 2 years ago, exclusion zones were introduced that prevented Northern Ireland's fishing fleet from accessing key fishing grounds. Those measures were presented on environmental grounds, but many in the industry believe that this disproportionately favours Manx vessels. We now see a similar outcome achieved by different means, this time through immigration rules rather than fisheries policies. There has been many meaningful consultations, there has been little meaningful consultation with the Northern Ireland fishing fleet or those who fish in that area, limited notice and scant regard to the economic circumstances of our fishing industry. The change comes at a time when the sector is already under severe pressure. Fuel costs are high, labour shortages persist, and regulatory demands continue to grow. Many vessel owners operate on tight margins, removing access to traditional fishing grounds places their business in a genuine jeopardy. The DARA Minister needs to urgently engage with industry and the Manx government to seek fairness and reinstatement of long-established access and fishing practices. That's the statement I'm read out. But at the same time, we have to remember, 70% of the fishing crews now come from abroad. It's just the locals do not seem to be interested in it. And with this, on top of what has already been happening, it's going to leave that the fishing industry now and the fish processors, they're going to really have difficulty getting enough produce there to process in the factories along this County Down coast in particular. So the fishing industry is in extreme danger now. What's inclined to be happening, so it is, in with the fishing industry, it's only really the family members. There's nobody from the wider community now. It's just taking an interest in it. The fishing boats are under severe pressure, just simply with the crews and crews alone. Councillor Rice put a motion here before, so I did, about the difficulties and the new regulations even the British government has brought in, so it is that the minimum wage is now, as far as I know, £38,000. Any fisherman from outside this jurisdiction there, if they're fishing, that's the minimum they can get. So there's a lot of difficulties here. If we want to retain our fishing expertise, the fishing fleet we have, which has been there for centuries, we do need to do something about this as soon as possible. And representations, especially from the Agriculture Minister, and I know all parties have taken interest in this, so the sooner we get something done about it, the better. And I hope everybody will support what I'm suggesting here today, to write to the Manx government to ask them to either reverse or reopen consultations again there to see what the impact really is. As I know, generations, well, they call them the chickens, is in around that part of the country, so that's where the majority of this fishing's done, the chickens, the rooks. And I tell you, if this does really follow through, it will devastate the Northern Ireland fishery and the County Down coast especially. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Councillor
Reddy, do you want to speak on Councillor's motion? Yeah, your second.
Yeah, could I just support everything Councillor Hannah said? It really is creating massive anxiety and worry within the fishing community in Kilkeel. And it's not just Kilkeel, it's Port of Bogie and Hourglass as well. All fish that traditionally have fished those grounds for generations. And it's not just the actual fishermen who go out in the boat, it's the literally thousands of workers around that harbour in fish processing plants and packaging, you name it, transport, huge number of people. And all those jobs are genuinely at risk because of this move by the Manx government. The Irish government, we used to have a reciprocal arrangement with them, and they unilaterally stopped Northern Irish boats from going into water. Dundalk Bay, for example, was a prime prawn area. So we've lost that, and now we're going to lose Isle of Man waters. And it will just literally, it could devastate the whole fishing industry. So it's very important that the Isle of Man think twice about what they're saying. And the onus also is, Madam Chair, to get more local people into the industry. But that's not going to happen overnight. You know, that's a long-term goal. And the council, thankfully, is working on that and trying to work with different agencies now. I know Sarah is trying to organise a meeting with us so as we can have an input into that. But certainly it is a very, very worrying situation.
Councillor Rice.
Gurmi, I've got Chair. We in Sinn Féin will be supporting this motion, and we recognise the very real socio-economic consequences that these legislative changes by the Isle of Man government have on operators in County Down. This is about livelihoods, families and sustainability of our coastal economies. A significant number of vessels operating out of Kilkeel, Port of Ogie and Hourglass depend on access to Manx waters within the 12-mile limit. The new requirement that crews must hold an Isle of Man work visa and that the business must effectively operate as an Isle of Man entity creates a barrier to entry for our local family-run boats that they simply cannot overcome. For small operators, this is not a minor administrative inconvenience, it's potentially a business-ending obstacle. This is a further direct impact on fishing crews, many of whom are already experiencing difficulty in recruitment and retention of workers. Since Brexit and the end of free movement, labour shortages have become a serious challenge across the fisheries and food processing industries. This is something that we've warned about and has been debated many times in this chamber. We have seen similar issues raised previously in relation to the agri-food sector, where producers in the north now find themselves at a disadvantage compared to competitors in Southern Ireland who retain access to the EU labour. Our fishing sector is now facing a comparable structural disadvantage. In towns like Kilkeel, Port of Ogie and Hourglass, fishing is not just an industry, it is part of the social and economic fabric of that community. If vessels become unviable, young people will leave the sector, family businesses disappear and rural coastal communities weaken. That is why this motion is very important, and I thank Councillor Hanna for taking it. It's about protecting jobs in County Down, it's about protecting coastal communities, and it is about ensuring that policy decisions taken elsewhere are not inadvertently devastate industries that have been sustained in our towns for generations. Working vessels are being stopped from fishing waters that they have done so for generations without any consultation or prior warning. Further bureaucracy has put this in industry and life support. So therefore, if Councillor Hannah will accept, I would like to make a slight amendment just at the end that we write to Minister Muir and request that through his department, DERA, they also write to the Isle of Man government, calling on them to engage just constructively with his department to find a solution on the issue. Chair.
Councillor Rice, have you a second for that? Yes, Councillor Rice. You're happy in it? Okay. Now, Councillor
McAteer. Okay, thank you, Chair. Yeah, and thank you, Councillor Hannah and Councillor Reddy for bringing the motion and seconding it. We in the SDLP, of course, will be supporting this as well. And listen to just to what has been said in the chamber here. It certainly exposes again the vagrancies of Brexit and what has happened. And we see now that basically, the Northern Irish fishermen have been squeezed from all angles, all types of regulation coming in emanating from this. So it is a very serious situation, for which is still quite a substantial industry, creating a lot of employment in this council area and indeed on the northern coast. So in supporting this, we would also ask that, given the serious development that this has arisen, that we also add that we would write to the Secretary of the British Irish Council in Edinburgh, asking that this be raised and discussed at the next meeting of the British Irish Council. We feel that that's an appropriate level to have this raised as well. And I do support, of course, the writing to Minister Moore as well. Thanks, Government. So ask maybe that the proposer would accept that additional proposition as well.
Yeah. You're happy enough. Okay. Yeah, okay. Councillor Harvey. Councillor McAteer, you're right. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes, and I suppose I just want to give a bit of perspective as well from Minister Muir, as we've been in touch with him as well. But the Minister does share concerns equally with Councillor Hannah and other councillors who expressed that across the chamber for the local fishing industry following the sudden introduction of these changes to Isle of Man's immigration policy. He's been particularly disappointed by the lack of prior engagement on this issue, given its potential to have such significant and detrimental impact on the Northern Irish fishing fleet. But DERA officials have met with industry representatives and have been in, and have made contact, and they've also made representations already to the Isle of Man government. As far as I'm aware, Mr. Muir has requested to meet with Ministers Claire Barber and Chris Thomas, who or the ministerial responsibility for fisheries and immigration on the Isle of Man, to act quickly on this matter, to fully understand the rationale for these changes and to explore practical solutions that avoid and to avoid these disproportionate impacts on Northern Irish vessels. So I completely agree with the motion, and I'm happy to support, and I'm happy still to write to the minister. But I suppose just to give that perspective that the minister has made actions on this already, and there is sort of pro-action from his department. So, yes, thank you, Chair.
Councillor Taylor, would you like to speak?
Yeah, Chair, thanks. Again, I want to offer my support to the motion brought forward by Councillor Hannah tonight. Obviously, you know, looking at this issue, it has really potentially devastating consequences for our local fishing industry. And as we all know, it's a key part of our local economy here in the Newry Morning Down District area. And I certainly hope that the Isle of Man government, you know, look at the concerns that are being raised. As Councillor Howes outlined, the Minister appears to be, you know, already raising this issue with the Isle of Man government. But certainly, I certainly hope on top of that, whatever representations we can make at local level here as a local government and at wider executive level, we hope that this matter can be reviewed and changes made, because it is extremely worrying about what the potential consequences are if it proceeds. So I certainly hope that the Isle of Man government pull back on what they're proposing here at the moment, so that we can certainly see our local fishing industry protected also. Thank you.
Can I sum up on that?
Could you sum up, yes, please?
Yeah. Just to remind everybody, there is thousands of jobs and a large amount of money involved in all this. And to be quite honest, I know Councillor Howe has said about the minister. Put it this way, what nobody can understand is how this was missed. Whether the minister was asleep at the wheel, I do not know. But how this legislation got to where it's at without, especially the minister not knowing, I do not know how that has actually got to that stage. But I thank everybody, so I do, for supporting the motion, says it is so important to the people of County Down. You have to remember the tradition of fishing, it goes back centuries, so it does, and we do not want to loss it out of County Down, so we don't. So, thank you, Chair.
Now, everybody in agreement? Yep. Okay. Move on now to item 15, note of a motion, coastal protection, Councillor Reilly.
Thanks very much, Madam Chair. I'd like to thank the Council for having this in full Council rather than putting it under committee, because I think it is very important. But, Madam Chair, Northern Ireland does not have a coastal protection strategy, nor a dedicated fund, nor a dedicated department to administer coastal protection measures. We do have the Northern Ireland Coastal Forum that is jointly chaired by the DERA and Department of Communities Ministers, with the chief executives of all 11 councils invited to attend meetings. But its work appears to be largely academic rather than a decision-making body capable of protecting our coastal infrastructure. England, in comparison, has a dedicated coastal protection fund that is largely administered by local authorities, but has provision for community groups and charities to make application for funding towards projects known as the firm grants. Scheme examples include Torbay Council with a £13.5 million to strengthen sea defences and improve the public realm. Isle of Wight, £50 million to replace Victorian sea defences, and Dorset Council, £4 million to create a rock groin for beach protection, plus hundreds, literally hundreds of small community-led schemes. Wales, which is more similar to Northern Ireland, has a dedicated coastal protection policy, and the Welsh Assembly has this year allocated £85 million in their budget specifically for coastal protection. And they have many schemes running, for example, small-scale works on the large multi-million pound schemes like the Mumbles Seawall and Promenade Upgrade. We as a council have a lot of coastal infrastructure that needs refurbishment or replacing. Examples include the Cranfield Beachfront Road, Annalong Harbour, Shimna Weir, the Rockpool, Annalong Coastal Path, Newcastle Harbour, and they are just in the Moors DEA. And the resolution is, well, Madam Chair, I would like the council, I don't think the original proposal that we asked for that scheme in England to be extended, because it does seem to be a largely devolved issue. So if the council could agree that we write to the Northern Ireland Assembly and ask them to introduce a similar scheme to those that exist in England or Wales to ensure that our coastal maritime infrastructure is maintained and improved. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Have you a seconder for your motion, Councillor Reilly? Jackson, would you like to speak?
Thank you, Chair. Yep, just in seconding the motion from Councillor Reilly. I just want to highlight the geographical extent, obviously, of our Newry Morning Down Council area, and just the size of that area and how much of that actually affects different roads, paths, and general access to farmland as well, and just the amount of damage and inconvenience that can have in our local council area. So just want to highlight that, and obviously, and second it. Just highlighting those points, and just as I say, the amount of areas in our own council area. So thank you, Chair. Thanks.
Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair. So the SDLP will be supporting this motion, and thanks to Councillor Reilly for tabling it this evening. Amendment there. I suppose we all know the damage of coastal erosion and the impact that flooding in general has on our towns, communities and our rural dwellers. I know for those of us on the planning committee, you know, we've seen refusal reasons quite often that are linked to coastal erosion, but again, there's no dedicated sort of resource or funding mechanism from central government to try and assist and to deal with that. I suppose we all know that the issue isn't going to go away with climate change. It's only ever going to get worse, unfortunately. And again, all of us in this chamber, unfortunately, have experience of flooding, whether that's the fluvial or from coastal erosion. I think our coastal flooding, and again, I think it's one of the additional joys of being a Moorings councillor. We've experienced all three on many occasions, unfortunately. So I suppose anything at all that can be done to assist this matter by way of funding, we will be supporting, whether that's through ring fence funding to central government or something coming more to local government, and whatever we can do to support people, we'll be happy to do so. And thanks to Henry for tabling that this evening.
Councillor Lawler.
Thanks to Councillor O'Reilly for bringing this motion. It is clear that the damage that has been done to harbours and coastal areas in Newcastle, Kilkeel and Annalong as a result of extreme weather and coastal erosion. These events are becoming more frequent and more severe. Climate change is not slowing down, and the pressures on these communities will only increase. That means investment in defences and adaptation must play a central role in how we respond. On that basis, I think this is a sensible and practical proposal, and I'm happy to support it on behalf of Sinn Féin.
Mr. Clark.
Thanks, Chair. I'd like to thank Councillor Reilly also for bringing the motion. There has been a massive increase in the number of storms that we've seen, and the energy of the tide has also increased. This is exacerbated, in my opinion, by climate change. You see it, we all see the damage that's been caused by the storms. Coastal erosion and flood risks, as Henry's pointed out, the funding is made available across the water. The three regions of Scotland, Wales, and England. The problem is, where do we get the funding to deal with our own troubles of coastal erosion? Rivers Agency would be the head department, but they're under extreme pressures also, looking at inland waterways. So I feel, yes, we write to the executive, but there has to be, there has to be a dedicated budget moving forward, but there has to be a strategic framework, coastal framework for moving forward, because too often we see ad hoc pieces of work being carried out, and then that you put the hard infrastructure in, it puts increased pressure then down the coast. We had a situation, I remember, Royal County Down put in rock armour, and it increased the amount of damage to the Moorland Nature Reserve, the sand dunes. So the force actually intensified by the decision, and it went through plan and all that type of stuff. But even the National Trust now are of the opinion, even just to look at soft engineered solutions, and allow some of the sand dunes to recede and almost replenish the beach at the same time. So they did do a document in regards to that. And I remember being involved in a number of workshops a number of years ago now, where there was workshops asking, for different organisations' opinions on how we deal with coastal erosion. But it, as Councillor Ray said, it hasn't got anywhere. We're dealing with this again. Whose responsibility is it? Haven't got the budget. It's the same pressures going to be brought to bear. So there has to be, a coastal strategy framework. Identifying the issues that we have and the solutions that we have, both soft engineered and also hard engineered solutions, moving forward. But no, I support the motion. Thanks.
Mr. Harry.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So the Alliance Party has pride and strong focus on environmental and marine protection. And I think with rising sea levels, strategic long-term planning is increasingly becoming vital, and strong destructive waves generated by storms are the primary driver for erosion of our coasts. And we are seeing now in the last couple of years that these storms are becoming even more frequent. And this, with the climate crisis and rising sea levels, just allows waves to become higher and come further inland and unfortunately destroy our coastline. But our coastline does need protection, and particularly an independent environmental agency. I know we were supposed to debate that tonight, but I think in general, this is something that we need all parties to work together on for stronger protection. And that is something that has unfortunately been blocked by the DUP at executive level. But I suppose just to make the point that we need parties to work together on this. But happy to support the motion tonight. So thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I definitely will be supporting the motion because it's Big Henry's. So just on this, when Councillor Clark actually started talking, I can remember those workshops where you talked about, because they were down in Newcastle, so they were, and it actually will take a strategy. So it will, right from Cranfield, Carlingford Lough, right up through Strangford Lough there, actually, and it further on up the coast. I know there's parts of the coast, especially around Cranfield and that, there is a very soft coast that is, and it's like Henry mentioned about at the far end, the Greencastle end of Cranfield there. I know I spoke to Connor about it, so I have about the damage done and them storms, and that's quite a sheltered wee bay in there, so it's almost undermined the road. So very sandy coast nearly all the way till you get to almost Newcastle. And then it goes hard for a little bit, and then it goes soft again. So I actually think, I'm not sure, you see, as everybody keeps saying, who does take responsibility? Is it the Department of Environment? Is it the Dara Minister? Nobody really knows. You know, that sort of way. We have actually a problem here, so we do. And as right to where Henry suggests, why do we not write to the First and Deputy First Minister and ask them to show some leadership on it? Well, I'd be proposing that there if Henry will accept it.
Do you need a seconder?
Yeah, I'd accept that.
You second as well?
I second.
You second the Councillor Jenkins? So yes, Councillor Taylor, would you like to speak?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Very happy to support the proposal brought forward by Councillor Riley tonight. Really at the minute the approach taken by, you know, Dara here in Northern Ireland, it's more integrated into broader environmental and climate strategies. But what's proposed here in the motion tonight certainly is more specific, and it guarantees, and it's an issue that's been mentioned here by other councillors, it guarantees specific funding to deliver particular projects that will be designed to protect homes, businesses and infrastructure in our areas. So it's something that should be given, you know, very serious consideration, given that this issue isn't going to get any better for any of us dealing with it, particularly in government circles. So if this type of body was created, it certainly seems to be more focused on obviously trying to deliver more positive results for communities that are affected by this particular issue more so than others. But certainly hope that, you know, through the executive again, they can look at this from a sympathetic point of view and aim to create a more specific I suppose strategy to deal with this issue going forward. Thank you.
Councillor Reilly, would you like to sum up?
Yeah, very briefly, Madam Chair. Thank you to everyone. Councillor Clark has made an extremely important point. It's not all about hard infrastructure, concrete and stone. A lot of the work that's done in England and that, if you do the research on it, it's soft work, as Councillor Clark has explained, planting indigenous vegetation and along shore fronts to stop erosion. There's a lot could be done. We just need the right body and the few pounds to get it going. But it's very important work, Madam Chair. Thank you very much.
Is everybody in agreement? Now, item 16, notice of motion, Nighttime Economy in Downpatrick. This notice of motion has been referred to ART Committee in Limestone in Order 16.1.6. Councillor Gilbreth, would you like to read your motion?
Thanks, Chair.
Tell me who's second, please.
Yeah. The motion reads, noting with concern the ongoing challenges facing the development and sustainability of the nighttime economy within Downpatrick Town Centre, and the impact this has on town centre vibrancy, employment and perceptions of safety. Recognising Downpatrick's important role as the county town of Down, this council commits to the appointment of a nighttime economy champion with a specific initial focus on the regeneration and sustainability of the nighttime economy in Downpatrick. We'll host an engagement event with the local businesses and the Downpatrick Regeneration Working Group. We'll seek a meeting with a delegation from Belfast City Council to learn from their experience of this process, and will develop an action plan for Downpatrick's nighttime economy, taking account of the opportunities afforded by the regeneration. Seconded by Councillor Orla King.
Yep. Now, there's an emergency notice of motion tabled by Councillor Pete Byrne. To hear the notice of motion, a qualified majority vote is required. This is 80% of those present and voting.
Okay. Yes, so Sarah will just do the vote.
Yeah. Sarah,
that's a recorded vote.
Yeah.
Okay, Councillor Andrews?
For.
Councillor Boisey?
Against.
Councillor Brennan? Councillor Pete Byrne? Councillor Campbell's absent. Councillor Clark?
Yeah, Ken.
I emailed it earlier.
Right. Mark said against.
Yeah. Councillor Devlin. Councillor Enright.
Four.
Councillor Fian.
Four.
Councillor Finn. Councillor Gilbreth. Councillor Gibbons.
Four.
Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Hannah. Councillor Hart. Councillor Hardy. Councillor Howell.
Against.
Councillor Howe.
For.
Councillor Jackson.
Against.
Councillor Kearns.
Against.
Councillor Orla King. Councillor Cahill King.
Against.
Councillor Larkin.
Against.
Councillor Lawler.
Against.
Councillor Lee Surgener.
For.
Councillor Lewis. Councillor McGuinness.
Against.
Councillor Mathers. Councillor McAteer. Councillor Declan Murphy. Councillor Kate Murphy. Councillor Selena Murphy. Councillor O'Hare.
Against.
Councillor Quinn.
Against.
Councillor O'Reilly.
Again.
Councillor Rice. Councillor Rand's absent. Councillor Taylor.
Four.
Councillor Tinley. Councillor Treesdale's absent. Councillor Young.
Four.
16 for, 22 against.
The vote doesn't make the qualified vote.
And won't be heard.
Yeah, and won't be heard.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.